Good morning and welcome to Rabbi Sacks' Sunday Morning Shear. This morning, Rabbi Sacks' Shear is being sponsored by Joan and Jeffrey Eschenberg and Melody and Mordechai Weinstein in memory of Mordechai Avigdor Ben Svi Zanvo Olof HaShalom. This morning's Shear, the topic is Shavuos, Rechav Gadol Rav Sacks.
One of the very relevant themes regarding the Yontif of Shavuos, both practically as well as in terms of the thrust of the mitzvah, is the obligation of reciting Birchas HaTorah. The Gemara tells us that it's unusual to have a bracha midaraisa. When we think, normally speaking, of brachos, Birchas HaNenen, a Birchas HaMitzvah, certainly these obligations are only drabanan. But yet, Birchas HaTorah is a possible exception. The Ramban already tells us as an hakdama to his Pirush al HaTorah that Yesh Lano Kabbalah Shel Emes, Shekol HaTorah Kula Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have a mystical tradition that all of Torah is comprised of names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we could solve this puzzle, we would be able to spell out all the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any missing or additional letters of the Torah. And the Ramban continues and tells us that lest you think that this is simply esoteric Kabbalah and it doesn't have any practical ramification, the Ramban writes, that's why if you have any additional letters in the Sefer Torah, or if any letter is missing, chaseros v'yaseros, the Sefer Torah is considered to be possible, because after all you have broken that link between the Kedusha of Sefer Torah and Shem Hashem. This is a great Kiddush that the Ramban writes, because if this is true, that would mean that every letter of the Torah HaKadosha, whether it impacts on the meaning of the word, is absolutely critical, it is vital, and if that is missing, the Sefer Torah is considered to be posel, even when it comes to chaseros v'yaseros. I mention this because the Menachas Chinuch in the very last mitzvah, mitzvah Tayag, the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, Kisvu Lachem es Hashira Hazos, is bothered by the question that preoccupies many of the Mefarshim. Why is it that today we don't find that the mitzvah is fulfilled in a regular fashion? If there really is a mitzvah daraisa, ksiva sefer Torah, why is it that this is not a mitzvah that each one of us regularly fulfills? One possibility is the following. The Rosh in Hilchos Sefer Torah writes a very great Chiddush. What is the purpose of ksiva sefer Torah? The Torah continues and tells us, in order to facilitate Limud HaTorah, V'lamdas B'nai Yisrael, Sima B'fihem. And therefore the Rosh writes that in earlier times they used to learn from Sifrei Torah, and therefore it's necessary to have an abundance of Sifrei Torah in order to be able to facilitate Limud HaTorah. Bizman HaZed, that the Rosh writes that is not the case. Already in his time they were not learning from Sifrei Torah that had a Kedushas HaKsav, Kedushas Kisrei HaKodesh, so therefore the focus of the mitzvah has changed. A very great Chiddush. That Darshin and Taima Dekra, and therefore if the Torah says perform the mitzvah in order to attain a certain result, if that is not the way that we do so Bizman Hazeh, therefore the mitzvah itself is considered to be altered. Minchas Chinuch suggests the following possibility found in the Shagas Aryeh, and that is the Gemara tells us Ananlo Bekeinan Bechaseros V'yaseros. The Gemara in Kedushin writes the following, that there was an attempt to seek out the middle letter of the Sefer Torah, that Vav Degachon. The Gemara says, is that considered to be part of the first half or the second half of the Torah? The Gemara says, why should there be a debate? Take out the Sefer Torah and simply count all the letters? The Gemara says, we can't do so. Ananlo Bekeinam v'chaseros v'yaseros, we are unaware of the placement of certain vavs, whether this letter does in fact belong, does it not belong, and therefore we cannot determine exactly where the mid-letter of the Sefer Torah is. This is difficult. The Menachas Chinuch, for example, writes the following. At once, Amnan lo bikinim achaseros v'yaseros. But if you look at the sugya in Sanhedrin of Dalgam and Aleph, there the Gemara has sugyas in dinim daraisa based on yeshem the mikra, yeshem the masores. A word is written chaser, but it's pronounced mole. For the purposes of drushos, do we follow the kri? Do we follow the ksiv? When it comes to tefillin, tatfas. When it comes to sukkos, in sukkas. Karnos, karnas. The whole assumption of the sugya is that it is written one way in the Torah, but yet it's pronounced in a different way, and therefore, for the purposes of drasha, do we consider that vav or do we not? How can dinim daraisa hinge on this vav when the Gemara says anan lo bekinan v'chaseros v'yaseros? Menachem Chinuch writes a beautiful answer, and that's as follows: that there are different types of chaseros v'yaseros that one finds in Chumash. Sometimes a vav will change the meaning of the word. Kapas and kapos, karnos and karnas, sukkas and sukkos. If it is a shift from singular to plural, that will alter the meaning of the word. That is absolutely critical. And in such a case, certainly Chazal were well aware of each and every one of the vavs of that particular category. Sometimes, for example, when it comes to the name Aaron, it can be spelled chaser, it can be spelled malay. Whether there is a vav or whether the vav is missing does not impact on the meaning of the word at all. And therefore, Menachem Chinuch writes the following Chiddush. When you want to determine whether it is a kosher pasul sefer Torah, you have to be concerned with the placement of those letters that will alter the meaning of the pasuk that the Torah is attempting to convey. If, however, there is an extra vav that doesn't alter the meaning of the mikra at all, for example, Aaron with a vav or without a vav, in such a case, the sefer Torah remains that which is kosher. It's similar to what the Beis Yosef writes as an example. If the Balkore should be laning and makes a mistake, when is it that you correct the Balkore? Here there are several different days in the Rishonim. The Sefer HaManhig writes the following: the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah is for Liman HaTorah, and even if the Balkore will mispronounce the word, still the limud is accommodated, and certainly one is not allowed to unnecessarily embarrass the Balkore. So therefore the Sefer HaManhig writes, if he makes a mistake, let it go. Unless the Sefer HaManhig writes, it's something which is chiruf v'giduf, it's blasphemy. Instead of reading Hashem Echad, he reads the Dalet as a Reish. That's his example. Then everybody has to correct. Short of that, you don't correct the Balkore. And the other extreme is the Shitas HaRambam, where the Rambam writes that even Diktuk Osio is worthy of correction. Rostovichik stated b'shem Reb Chaim, it means dikduk osios, even tamei amikra, even trup as well. And the Beis Yosef writes the following. This is what we generally assume. You correct the Balkore when the mistake will alter the meaning of a word. So, for example, the Beis Yosef writes, the S and Ace, that you don't correct the Balkore, you don't unnecessarily embarrass him. He says the wrong word, it conveys a different meaning, a different nuance, then it's necessary to correct the Balkore. This Chiddush, the Beis Yosef writes, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, this is what the Menachem Chinuch writes when it comes to Kedusha Sefer Torah. And therefore, the Gemara can tell us that certain drashos we are absolutely aware of, but still the placement of certain vavs that don't impact on the meaning, that's what the Gemara says, anan lo bekinan v'chaseros v'yaseros. This, however, is against the Ramban, because the Ramban tells us that the reason every letter of the Torah Kadosh is critical is because of the correspondence to Shem Hashem. If that's true, it should make no difference whether this impacts on the meaning of the word, whether it does not. Every os is considered to be absolutely critical for Kedusha Sefer Torah, because if not, you have broken that link between the Shem Hashem and the Ksav Shel Torah itself. This concept that the Ramban writes in his Hakdama to his Pirush Al HaTorah, the notion that Torah is considered to be Shem Hashem, is often found in the Gemara as well. The Gemara tells us in Brachos Nafchavav that Minayin She'echad V'yoshev V'lomeid Sha'ashchinimo. Where do you see that if a person individually engages in Talmud Torah that there is a Hashras HaShchina? The Gemara calls the Pasuk Kol HaMakom Asher Azkir Eshmi Avoidacha Uverachticha. What is Azkir Eshmi? You mention the Shem Hashem. That means a person who engages in Limud HaTorah. Not just simply because in the process, in the course of learning, you mention the Shem Hashem, but Torah is considered to be Shmosa Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is how the Marsha understands the drush of the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chof Aleph regarding Birchas HaTorah. Here the Gemara tells us that Birchas HaTorah Lifaneha Minayin Min HaTorah. Where do we see Min HaTorah, the obligation of reciting Birchas HaTorah? And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk of Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Lilokeinu. When we declare, when we call out the Shem Hashem, we ascribe greatness to that name, we recite a bracha, Birchas HaTorah. What is this drasha? Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Lilokeinu. Rashi does not interpret the Gemara this way, but the Marsha writes, this is also found in the Sefer HaCharedim, in his Pirush and Perek Vav Brachos, in the Yerushalmi, the following, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Torah is Shem Hashem. Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Lilokeinu. Rashi, as I mentioned, interprets the drush of the Gemara differently. Moshe Rabbeinu turned to Klal Yisrael and said the following, I am about to convey the Dvar Hashem, and that warrants Birchas HaTorah. Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I, Moshe Rabbeinu, recite Birchas HaTorah, Havu Godel Elokeinu Atem Ta'anu Amen. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara. So Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, I will recite the Birchas HaTorah, and you respond by saying Amen. The Marsha points out that Poshem Shah in the Gemara, Kishem Hashem Ekra, is when I recite the substance of the Dvar Hashem, the Torah Hashem, Havu Godel Elokeinu, you recite Birchas HaTorah. The way the Marsha understands the Gemara as well as Sefer Charedim, so that's exactly what the Gemara tells us then. Torah is considered to be Shem Hashem. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Lilokeinu. So what's unusual? When the Gemara tells us the source of Birchas HaTorah, it doesn't describe it as being a Birchas Hanenin or a typical Birchas HaShevach, but rather based on this Pasuk of Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Lilokeinu. The Gemara goes on to discuss the obligation of Birchas HaMazon as well. And that's an important link, because that Sugya Brachos Tav Chof Aleph seems to equate on some level Birchas HaMazon and Birchas HaTorah. Why is that link so critical? Because if you look in the Ramban, found in Sefer HaMitzvos, in the Hosafos of the Ramban, in Mitzvah Tezvav, here the Ramban is troubled. Why is it that the Rambam does not count Birchas HaTorah within the Taryag Mitzvos? After all, the Gemara tells us that Minayin LeBirchas HaTorah Lifaneha Min HaTorah. Min HaTorah often means as a mitzvah daraisa. Sometimes Min HaTorah in the Gemara means, is there a reference? Is there an allusion? Is there an asmachta? But the Ramban writes that Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah daraisa, and therefore it must be counted among Taryag Mitzvos. The Rambam fails to do so. One could suggest various possibilities within the Rambam Shita. Why is it that the Rambam fails to count Birchas HaTorah as one of Taryag Mitzvos? One could argue very simply, perhaps the Rambam is of the opinion that Birchas HaTorah is only Midrabanan. This is what the Shagas Aryeh, for example, assumes in the Rambam Sheet, and therefore, obviously, it is not counted within Taryag Mitzvos. Another possibility is the following. This is what the Mabit writes in Kiryas Sefer. It's not found, right, in the normal discussion of Birchas HaTorah. It's found in Perek Yud Beis of Hilchos Tefillah, where the Mabit in Kiryas Sefer writes that according to the Rambam, Birchas HaTorah is not an independent mitzvah, but rather it goes hand in hand with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And therefore, even the Rambam will acknowledge Birchas HaTorah is Daraisa, but it's considered to be Chelek Mechelke HaMitzvah, and it's not so uncommon, as we discussed in earlier Shiurim, that the Rambam will not count components independently, but rather sometimes they are called in form a single mitzvah. It is true when the Rambam, whoever discusses in Sefer HaMitzvos, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the Rambam makes no reference to Birchas HaTorah. Poshub Shat, according to the Mabit, the Rambam should have done so. In describing the Pratei HaMitzvah, the Rambam should have included Birchas HaTorah if indeed it is considered to be part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah itself, therefore it's not counted independently. But two possibilities within the Rambam Shita. But the Rambam Ramban is explicit. Birchas HaTorah is in fact a mitzvah daraisa. What type of bracha is this? A bracha daraisa. The concept of birchas HaMitzvah, drabanan. Where else do you find a bracha daraisa? Birchas HaMazon. Or even the possibility of a bracha achas, main shalosh, alamichya. In fact, that Gemara brachos is mentioned, Chafalef, equates birchas HaTorah with birchas HaMazon. According to the Ramban, these are the two models of a bracha daraisa, and even the further chiddush, they are very similar in terms of their substance. What is birchas HaMazon? Clearly a birchas shevach v'hoda, an opportunity of thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is Birchas HaTorah? The Ramban is explicit. It is a Birchas Hoda, an opportunity to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the Torah Hashem. Mamet Har Sinai. That's the Chiddush that the Ramban writes. Number one, a bracha daraisa. Number two, it is a birchas hodah. In fact, these two issues are certainly linked because, as mentioned, the only brachos we have min haTorah are not birchas hanenim or not birchas hamitzvah, but purely a birchas shevach v'hodah. So therefore, it's not coincidental at all that the Ramban writes birchas haTorah is daraisa and its nature is comparable to birchas hamazon as a birchas hodah for Kabbalah Satorah. That also is in a very important Chiddush the Ramban, that Midaraisa, we are obligated to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu each and every day for giving us the Torah Hashem. According to the Ramban, Birchas HaTorah is not inherently related to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It is not a Birchas HaMitzvah at all. And therefore you understand very well why the Ramban would not count Birchas HaTorah simply as part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but rather, according to the Ramban, it's an independent mitzvah, after all, because it is a birchas hodah for Kabbalah HaTorah, it is not inherently linked with the obligation of Talmud Torah itself. You know from earlier shiurim that the Ramban often emphasizes the notion of hodah when it comes to Kabbalah HaTorah. The Gemara tells us in Sachem and Daf Samaches Amud Beis the following contradiction between two psukim. How is it that one appropriately celebrates and commemorates Shabbos, Yontif, Purim? Does one do so based on the concept of Lachem, or is it Lashem? The Gemara says the steer of Tupsukim. On the one hand, the Torah tells us Atzeres is considered to be Lashem Elokecha. On the other hand, Atzeres is Lachem. Haketzad. How do you resolve that difficulty? The Gemara quotes two possibilities. The Gemara says the following, that Rabbi Eliezer Shita, that these are two options. Okulashem, Okulachem. How is it that one should celebrate Yontif? You have two tracks. One possibility is Lashem, the other possibility is Lachem. And as you, the Gemara, that tells us in Beitza, that Rabbi Eliezer, on every Yontif, would give shir throughout the entire day, maintaining that the ideal way of fulfilling Simchas Yontif is Lashem Elokecha, through Torah and Tefillah. Rabbi Eliezer would give the shir the entire day. The Gemara describes in Beit Nef Tezvav how the Talmidim gradually would try to sneak out. The Gemara says that there were six groups of Talmidim. Some who left immediately, some who stayed for a measure of time, and ultimately even the other Talmidim would leave. It's fascinating that the way the Gemara describes it is Rabbi Eliezer became increasingly distressed as the later Talmidim left. Somehow you would think that when the Talmidim didn't even stay, the initial Talmidim, those are the Talmidim that Rabbi Eliezer was angry with. The Talmidim that stayed for hours that eventually left, that Rabbi Eliezer could understand. The Gemara presents it in the opposite fashion, that he was greatly distressed by the Talmidim who were the last to leave. The Stipler points out the very simple but important Musar Haskel. It was from those Talmidim that Rabbi Eliezer expected the most. The ones who left right away, we understand. Rabbi Eliezer didn't feel that they were the ones who would stay and appreciate and understand the Limud HaTorah. The ones who stayed, the ones who understood, but yet somehow they had to see their way to the door as well, those are the ones who Rabbi Eliezer was most upset with. But this is how Rabbi Eliezer spent the Yontif of Kul Hashem. The Gemara quotes the day of Rabbi Yeshua that we assume like Lahalacha that no, Chelkehu, we're obligated to divide our day. Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem. And therefore that is what we assume, that's what the Rambam writes in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos, that you're obligated to divide the day of Shabbos and divide the day of Yontif. Rav Slavetchik would often point out, when you look in the Rambam doesn't simply tell us that divide the day. See to it that Shabbos Yontif is made up of Torah, Tefillah, but also Suda. The Rambam gives us a whole Seder Hayom. The Rambam tells us you begin Shabbos, for example, with Tefillah, then Suda, then Tefillah Shabbos morning, then Suda, then Tefillah, and then Suda. Why does the Rambam have to tell us the whole Seder? Rav Slavetchik pointed out, you get the impression from the Rambam Shita that Chatzil Hashem, Chatzil Hashem is not arbitrary, but there is halacha of Seder. Only when one satisfies the Chatzil Hashem, then there is a matir of Chatzil Hashem. And therefore it must be Tefillah Suda, Tefillah Suda, Tefillah Suda. This was very relevant, for example, for this year of Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos. Is it possible, for example, to have two meals back to back without corresponding to that sequence of the Chatzil Hashem, Chatzil Hashem? If you look in Ramah, for example, in Reish Tani Aleph, the Rama writes in one day that Seder should be preserved. Tefillah Suda, Tefillah Suda, Tefillah Suda. As though each part of the day is enveloped first by the Chatzil Hashem, then followed by the Chatzil Hashem. In fact, if you look in the Siddur Hagra, in the Maaser Rav, the Gaon was makbid for the Shita of the Ra'avan, who suggests the following, that one should not make Kiddush on Lel Shabbos until one has davened, until the Chovas HaTfilah is satisfied. Let's assume this time of the year when Shki is quite late, so therefore many will daven at an early minyan, others will daven Bizman. What about the following Eitzah, especially possible for yeshivas? Let them daven Kabbalah Shabbos. Let them go ahead and have the Suda Shabbos, Mascha Beheter, and therefore after the Suda is over, let them then daven. They don't have to go home, they don't have to come back, everyone is on site. So in such a case, you can have the Suda at an earlier hour, and yet you'll daven Bizman. Is that considered to be an option? What should be wrong with that? So the Gaon quotes the Chiddush of the Ravan that one should not do so. One should only make Kiddush after one davens Marivan Lel Shabbos. The question is, why is that so? There's no clear Mekor in Shas that tells us that one cannot do so. The Sugya in Sukkot of Laman Chesus mentions the following, that one should not be Koveya Suda if one is Maschil Beheter. If you're Maschil Beheter, so therefore, why can you not start the meal at that particular time? Rav Slavetchik explained based on this chiddush of the Rambam, the Chatzil Hashem, the Chatzil Lachem. First, one must satisfy the need of Torah, Tefillah, and only then, as a matir, one can proceed for fulfilling that second element of the Chatzil Lachem. And therefore, only when one fulfills the chiyuv of the Tefillah Shabbos can one engage in the Suda Shabbos as well. The Gemara tells us this is the machlokes. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yosef Engel writes, it's a pretty critical machlokes. And there should be other nafkaminas as well. We always recite one of the principles, the Yudgal Midas, is the following. Shnei ksuvim machishin zezeh. You have two psukim that contradict. So what do? You have to find the kos of Hashlishi, Shiachriya b'nehem. Hopefully that pasuk will tell us it's no contradiction whatsoever. Under these circumstances apply pasuk A. Under another set of circumstances apply pasuk B. I ask you a very simple question. What if you can't find the kos of Hashlishi? There is no kos of Hashlishi Shiachriya b'nehem. You have a pasuk that tells us that Atzeres is Lachem, a pasuk that tells us Atzeres is Lashem. There's no kos of Hashlishi to tell us pasuk A refers to here, pasuk B refers to there. What then do you do? Yosef Engel writes, that's the machlokes. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Elazar maintains if there's no kos of Hashlishi, what's the key word? Options. The Torah gives you a choice. Either A or B. Either O Kul Hashem, O Kul Lachem. And that's how Rabbi Elazar felt. The most appropriate way is through Torah and Tefillah. And Rabbi Yeshua says that no, if there is no kos of Hashlishi to tell us under these circumstances do this, under other circumstances do that, then you must accommodate both. You don't have a choice, and that is Chatzi Lashem and Chatzi Lachem. That's the Machlokes, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. And then the Gemara tells us the following. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hakol Modim Batzeres Debi'ina Nami Lachem. There's an exception. Rabbi Eliezer admits that one must engage in Suda when it comes to Shavuos. Why is this true? After all, Yom Shenitna Bo Torah LeYisrael. Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinim. Unusual? Zman Matan Torah Seinim, and therefore one is obligated to have Isuda. Every other yantif, Limud HaTorah. Shavuos, not Limud HaTorah, but rather HaKol Modim Batzeres Debinan Nami Lachem. This, the Chorah, can be understood based on the Ramban, the end of Parshas Mishpatim. The Torah tells us, Vayechizu Es Elokim, Vayochlu Vayishtu. When Bnei Yisrael received the Torah Hashem, they responded through Achila and Shtia. The Ramban quotes the Medrash Mikan, Shaosin Mishtu. When a person completes the Torah, when a person accepts, receives the Torah, at that time a person is obligated to celebrate physically as well. And that is the concept of the Suda that one has during the time of Shavuos. Hakol modim batzeres debi'inan ami lachem. The Ramban maintains that is a Sudas Hoda for Kabbalah's HaTorah. This fits beautifully with Ramban's understanding of Birchas HaTorah. Each and every day one is obligated to express Hoda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Kabbalah's HaTorah, and when you commemorate Zman Matan Torah Seinu, Vayechizu Es Elokim Vayochlu Vayishtu, one is obligated to have a Sudas Hoda as well. In fact, if you look in the Shultos, I've often mentioned this, as you know, on Purim, why is it that there's a Chiyuv Suda on Purim, there is no Chiv Suda on Hanukkah? The Shulta cites the Gemara and Shabbos and the Peches of Kima Bekiblu. Purim is a time of Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah requires a Suda. And therefore, one of the mitzvah sayom of Purim is a Sudas Purim. Hanukkah is a time of great Nisim. It didn't commemorate in any shape or form Zman Matan Torah Seinu, and therefore there is no Chiyuv Suda on Hanukkah. This is the concept of the Ramban. Hoda, when it comes to Kabbalah Satorah, and therefore a Suda, and therefore Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah daraisa each and every day. One could understand Birchas HaTorah in a very different way. Not a Birchas Hoda, but perhaps one could understand this as a Birchas HaMitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and one is obligated to recite a Birchas HaMitzvah. That is the nature of Birchas HaTorah. If this in fact is true, this would seem to point, at least superficially, in the direction that perhaps Birchas HaTorah is only Derabanan, because the whole concept of a Birchas HaMitzvah is not Daraisa, but rather Derabanan. This is the view of the Vilna Gaon, and Shachrach and Simen Mem Zayin, and Pashur Shat, this is the view of Tosus and Brachos and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Tosus is bothered by the following question. When it comes to the mitzvah of Sukkah, you're obligated to recite a Birchas HaMitzvah. When do you recite the bracha on Sukkah? It's very unclear from the Gemara. Exactly when do you recite the bracha of Leishe B'Sukkah? But Tosus maintains the following. You'll recite one bracha, and a person will enter his Sukkah. He will have a Suda B'Toch HaSukkah. All of a sudden now he leaves his Sukkah. He re-enters later in the afternoon. He's obligated to repeat the bracha of Leishe B'Sukkah. Tosus raises the same question regarding Birchas HaTorah. Why is it then that if a person recites Birchas HaTorah in the morning and engages Limud HaTorah, and then there is a period of Hefsek, and then he returns to his Limud HaTorah late in the afternoon, why is it that no bracha is recited? Clearly from the Tosus's question, the equation of Birchas HaTorah and the bracha of Leishe B'Sukkah, Tosus maintains at that point that Birchas HaTorah is indeed a Birchas HaMitzvah. Tosus gives a fascinating, beautiful answer, that there's a marked difference between Sukkah as opposed to Limud HaTorah. When it comes to Sukkah, when I'd leave my Sukkah, I'm no longer connected to the mitzvah of Sukkah. Not sure when it comes to Limud HaTorah. Tosus writes, La'olam eno miyayish daito imenu. A person closes the sefer because now he has to go to work. That's a hefsek. Certainly not. The entire day must be focused around that theme of Birchas HaTorah, and therefore even other pursuits are not considered to be a hefsek, and therefore no additional bracha is recited. But Tosus clearly maintains in one view that Birchas HaTorah is in fact a Birchas HaMitzvah. In fact, the Tosus Kedushin of Lamed Aleph Erev and of Tzarivav discusses Eino Mitzvah Yalseh. Can women recite a bracha on a mitzvah shazman grama that they are exempt from? And one of the cases that Tosa discusses in that context is Birchas HaTorah. Women are exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Can they recite Birchas HaTorah? After all, a Birchas HaMitzvah on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah itself. So whereas Tosus maintains Birchas HaMitzvah, the Ramban is clear it's considered to be a Birchas Hodah. The Brisker Rav quotes B'Shem Reb Chaim the following Chiddush, that Birchas HaTorah is not a Birchas HaMitzvah at all. After all, in the Machlokas I just referred to, whether a bracha can be recited if there is no chiyuv, Eino mitzvah yosa, as mentioned in Machlokas between Tosus and the Rambam. Tosus maintains Kedushin of Lamed Aleph, and the lengthy Tosus Ervin of Tzarivav, that even if there is no individual chiyuv in this particular mitzvah, women regarding shofar, lulav, sukkah, nonetheless a bracha can still be recited. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam writes, if one is obligated, then you can recite the Birchas HaMitzvah. If one does so, b'toras eino mitzvah v'yoseh, in that case, no Birchas HaMitzvah can be recited. That is the Shitas HaRambam. This is the Machlokas, the Mechaber in the Ramah, in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Zayin, when it comes to Tzitzis. This is the Machlokas, the Rambam in Ravid, in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tzitzis. Eino mitzvah v'yoseh, can you recite a bracha or can you not? Why is it that according to the Rambam, if there is no chiyuv, you cannot recite the Birchas HaMitzvah? One could argue in two very different ways. Maybe one is not technical, but essential. Chazal were only kovei abracha when one is obligated in a mitzvah, irrespective of the text of the bracha itself. Or maybe it's a more limited observation. What is the nusach habracha? Asher kedushon mitzvosav vitzivanu? That doesn't mean collectively that Klal Yisrael in general are obligated, but it means that I personally am obligated to do so. That's an important chiddush. If one should assume that the Rambam Shita, that women do not recite a bracha on mitzvah shazman grama, is because of that word vitzivanu, that would lead to the following conclusion, that if you have a bracha, despite the fact that women are exempt, if the bracha does not contain the word vitzivanu, then there is no problem. And even the Rambam would admit that women could recite such a bracha. One could certainly envision cases of a bracha that women are exempt, that doesn't contain the word vitzivanu, and one could raise the issue, would the Rambam allow that recitation or not? When it comes, for example, to Havdalah, that we discussed in earlier Shiurim, the two days in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Tzarivav, Baruchos Chaim, women are exempt from Havdalah. Does that mean they do not recite Havdalah? After all, Havdalah does not contain the Matbeya, the text, the Tzurah of a Birchas HaMitzvah. The same thing is true, for example, regarding Psukei Dezimra, a Machlokas HaPosukim, whether women are obligated in Psukei Dezimra or not. Does that mean they cannot recite Psukei Dezimra? After all, Baruch Shamar Yishtabach is not a Birchas HaMitzvah in the classic sense that contains Vitzivanu. Women are exempt from Kriyashma. Can women recite Birchos Kriyashma? The Rashba writes in Gittin Daf Mem that according to the Rambam Shita, women do not recite Birchos Kriyashma. Even though Birchos Kriyashma doesn't contain Vitzivanu in the classic sense, nonetheless, the Rashba maintains according to the Rambam, irrespective of that word vitzivanu, Chazal were only kovei abracha when one is obligated a mitzvah, not when one is considered to be exempt. Perhaps the same is true when it comes to Kiddush Levana. A machlokes haposkim, whether women are obligated or exempt, but again, it is not a bracha that contains the terms vitzivanu at all. But the Rambam maintains, generally speaking, no birchas hamitzvah, eino mitzvah v'yoseh. And that's what the Mechaber writes, as mentioned in Hilchos Tzitzis. But the Mechaber writes in the very end of Siman Mem Zayin, Nashim Mevarchos Birchas HaTorah. Women do recite Birchas HaTorah. So that's what Reb Chaim points out. The Mechaber assumes as the Rambam Shita that Inam Tzviyosi does not recite a bracha, and yet Nashim of Archos Birchas HaTorah. How can that be? The Gaon writes, why Nashim of Archos Birchas HaTorah Eino Mitzuvah? Reb Chaim points out that's fine according to the Ramah, but difficult according to the Mechaber that doesn't allow Eino Mitzviyosa to recite a bracha. So how is it that the Mechaber writes Nashim of Archos Birchas HaTorah? So Reb Chaim explains differently. Birchas HaTorah is a very unusual bracha. After all, when the Gemara asks, what is its source? The Gemara does not respond with, Birchas HaMitzvah, Birchas HaNenen, Birchas HaShevach. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Havogod Lelokeinu. When you declare the Shem Hashem, you're obligated to describe greatness to that name. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. That's the concept that the Brisker Rav writes, B'Shem Reb Chaim, that Birchas HaTorah is a brachan, what does that mean? When you invoke the Shem Hashem, you're obligated to recite a bracha. For example, the Gemara Yuma uses the same pasuk, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, for a different context. When the Kohen Gadol recites the Shem HaMforash, Habogol Elokeinu, the Hamon Am responds by reciting Baruch Shem Kavod. I'll ask you, Abrechas HaMitzvah? Birchas HaNenin, Birchas HaShevach. The answer is, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. You declare, you hear the Shem Hashem, you're obligated to respond. Torah Shmosu Shalkarish Baruch Hu. Just as we respond with bracha, when we hear the Shem HaMforash, so too, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Torah Shmosu Shalkarish Baruch Hu. So therefore, we're obligated to respond. Reb Chaim points out, not as Birchas HaMitzvah, but Cheftzah Shal Torah. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Havogod Elokeinu. And therefore, this applies to men and to women alike. Irrespective of when we're obligated in Talmud Torah, whether they are not. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Havogod Elokeinu. When we recite a Haftorah, for example, Kriyas HaTorah, we're obligated to recite a bracha. What is the nature of that bracha? A bracha samitzvah? Not necessarily. We're mentioning the Shem Hashem. When you invoke Shem Hashem, you're obligated to recite a bracha. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Havogod Elokeinu. There's a world of difference as to whether this is true Cheftzah Shel Torah, or whether it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. When we assume Nashim Mevarchos Birchas HaTorah, how do you translate that phrase? Women may recite Birchas HaTorah, or women must recite Birchas HaTorah, no? If you assume as the Ramban, it's a Birchas Hodah. If you assume as Reb Chaim, Cheftzah Shel Torah, women must recite Birchas HaTorah. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. If you assume it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, as the Gaon writes, and the fact that women recite is Eino Mitzviyosa, therefore women may recite Birchas HaTorah. Not women must recite Birchas HaTorah. The Ber Halacha in Siman Mem Zayin writes the Nafkamina, whether women can be motzi men in Birchas HaTorah. If women must recite Birchas HaTorah, then men and women alike are obligated, therefore one can be motzi the other. If you assume Eino Mitzviyosa, women may recite Birchas HaTorah, then women cannot be motzi men in Birchas HaTorah itself. This issue, the nature of Birchas HaTorah, a bracha Cheftzah Shel Torah, Birchas HaMitzvah, this is relevant to a machlokis in the Gemara Brachos and Daf Yud Aleph. Here the Gemara has a fascinating machlokis between Rav Hun and Rava. What is it that requires Birchas HaTorah? The Gemara quotes a sheet of Rav Hun that sounds quite unusual. Lemikra tzarech levarech. Only Torah Shebichsav requires Birchas HaTorah. Mishnah, Gemara, there is no Birchas HaTorah. That's the Shita of Rav Huna. Birchas HaTorah is limited to Torah Shebichsav. We, of course, assume differently halacha. We paskin as the view of Rava, that no, that even Gemara requires Birchas HaTorah as well. What is this machlokis? Let's center on the Shita of Rav Huna. Only Torah Shebichsav, that is what warrants Birchas HaTorah. One thing is clear, that according to Rav Huna, we do not assume that Birchas HaTorah is the Birchas HaMitzvah. But Mitzvah, Liman HaTorah, is only Torah Shebichsav and not Torah Shebal Peh? Of course not. If anyone will limit, clearly they are assuming it's a different type of bracha entirely. Maybe one could suggest if it's a Birchas Hodah, maybe perhaps there is a difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, Or one could argue, according to Rav Chaim, beautiful, no? Kishem Hashem Ekra, Chefta Shel Torah. Chefta Shel Torah. What is Chefta Shel Torah, no? One could argue, Shem Hashem, the Ramban I began with, Shmoso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is Torah Shebichsav, not necessarily Torah Shebal Peh. I'll give you an example. Beautiful Chiddush, Shulchan Aruch Harav, it's found Hilchos Tamba Torah, Simen Beis, Si'if Yud Beis. Let's say a person learns without Havana. He doesn't understand that which he's reading. Does he fulfill a mitzvah of Talmud Torah? You know what the Shulchan Aruch Harav writes? It depends on whether it's Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav is Shem Hashem. Even without Havana, undeniably, a person has uttered, has rendered Shem Hashem Ekra. Therefore, there is a key mitzvah even without Havana. When it comes to Torah Shebal Peh, that's the Havana Satorah. Torah Shebal Peh without understanding is not the key mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But when you have Chefta Shel Torah, Torah Shebichsav, then you can speak about a mitzvah even without understanding as well. Rav Huna, then you understand the Shita. If this is true, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Shem Hashem Ekra, if Shem Hashem means Torah which is Shmoso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you understand very well. The Mikra Tzarech Levarech, but not when it comes to Mishnah or Talmud. And we assume as the view of Rav that no, even Torah Shebal Peh requires Berachas HaTorah. Why is this true? Here you find a difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah, and that's Sugyan Brachos and Daf Yud Aleph. Why is it that we maintain la halacha that it is necessary to recite Birchas HaTorah even on Torah Shebal Peh? If you look in Rashi, Rashi writes the following, because Ikar Horah is Torah Shebal Peh. That's what Rashi comments. If you look in Rabbeinu Yonah writes a little bit differently. Because Torah Shebal Peh is simply an elucidation, a pirish, of Torah Shebichsav. See, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, you get the following impression. That in principle, Rav Huna is true. In principle, Birchas HaTorah is on Torah Shebichsav. So therefore, how come Halacha L'maaseh recite this brach even on Torah Shebal Peh? You know what the answer is? Is because Torah Shebal Peh is simply an explanation of Torah Shebichsav. When I am learning a Maleches Shabbos, so therefore, this is simply an explanation of Lo Sasacho Malacha, and therefore, essentially, the bracha is on the Shem Hashem Ekra, on the Mikra. Except this is an elucidation of the Mikra itself. Rashi indicates differently. Rashi seems to maintain that no, this is Ikar Horah, that the bracha is on Torah Shebal Peh, independently. Lemaskana, we who assume is Rava, perhaps this is the basis of the Machlokes. If you assume is Rava, Torah Shebal Peh, if this is a Birchas HaMitzvah, well, of course, Torah Shebal Peh as well. If one will argue that no, it's a Brachan Chefta Shel Torah, then one could argue that in principle is Rav Huna, and even Rav is Modav HaMikzas, that I agree in principle that's true, but in practice, no, Torah Shebal Peh is not independent of, it's an extension of Torah Shebichsav, but in principle the brach is indeed on Torah Shebichsav as well. This is just simply the basic structure of three possibilities in terms of the nature of Berchas HaTorah as a Berchas HaMitzvah, a Berchas HaShevach, a brach on Chefta Shel Torah. Ezra Hashem will have to see in the coming shir the following. All the differences in Halacha, and then the specific applications when it comes to Shavuos night. If a person sleeps during the day, if a person sleeps at night, if a person is up the entire night, is one obligated in those cases in reciting Birchas HaTorah? That, as we'll see, should also hinge on this issue. The halachos of Hefsek, when it comes to cases of Birchas HaMitzvah, or a Birchas Hodah, or what about the concept that each and every day is its own mechayiv, and therefore the possibility, for example, as Rabbeinu Tam suggests, that even if a person is up the entire night, he is obligated to recite a new Birchas HaTorah. So Bezras Hashem, next Sunday, we'll continue with all the differences, then we'll speak about some of the machshava and hashkafa regarding Zman Matan Torah Seinu.